Looking back in Galatians. Galatians. Good book. As I've, you know, there's just a lot of things I've been reading in Galatians as we've been doing these teachings and just looking back over just things that, you know, that you get revealed to you that you didn't see before. And, you know, like some things as you go back over, there's certain things that are witnessed, not necessarily I'm going to teach, but there's things that you deal with, you're going through, and God gives you an answer in the book. You know, you go through and you read and you see things that are said. And as we go back through these, I always enjoy because it, to me, many times it's almost, some ways it's almost new again to go back through these teachings and to refresh ourselves in these things. The last time we talked and really we looked at some of the areas that we were looking at, we did talk about Paul, you know, dealt with the fact of when he came to these people. In fact, they listened to him. We went over the things about, you know, Paul had been stoned to death and had ended up going back to the Galatians church, and he talked about how open they were to him. And we went on to he talked about in Galatians, the fourth chapter. He talked about these individuals who he said they zealously court you in verse 17. He said, but for no good. He said, they want to exclude you, that maybe that you're zealous for them. And he talked about what with these people, because what they were doing is they were bringing their legalism, bringing in legalism. We found out, they said, well, you had to be circumcised, but they brought a lot of other stuff along with them. They brought all this, you know, stuff from the law. Now you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this. And after a while, you know, it's sort of like a religion thing. Religion will have you so busy with so much stuff to do all the time that you got to do that it's just, you know, you got to be saved by works, or man, you'd fall dead trying to keep all this stuff. You almost don't have time to actually follow God. You're so busy trying to do all this stuff, and they had really gotten off course. Then he turned around and gave another discourse, really, on what the law and grace, the difference between the two, or the covenant of promise and the law. What's the difference of the two? And he used with Sarah, dealing with Sarah and Isaac, and used also with the symbolism of how Hagar was like Mount Sinai, which was birth again to bondage, the child there with Ishmael. And really use the two of them, how those two, they show the difference of two covenants. You know, Isaac was a child of promise, based upon promise, and that's we are in Christ Jesus. And that's the wonderful thing about it. There's only one way that you can have promise, and that's through faith. You can't get promise through works. What is promised, that's just that it. You know, that's one really important thing, and I just want to encourage you in this. This is why, be very careful about what you promise. Because people break their promises all the time. They do it all the time. Christians do it all the time and don't think. They give their word to something, but something else comes along and they'll say, well, I can't do that now. I'm going to do this. Hold it. You just broke promise. And personally, I believe people who do that, after a while, the word of God becomes pretty insignificant to them. Because when they look at God's promises, Kenneth Hagin used to say that. He said, if you're a liar, he said, you're going to have a hard time walking in faith because you know your words aren't any good. If your words aren't any good, and you know that, and you change your words all the time, you won't believe in a thing you say. You'll get over where you're not believing stuff. This is why, you know, you got to build your own confidence in the areas and that stuff where your word is good. If your word is good, you can use your word to do a lot of things, bring a lot of blessing. But if your word isn't any good, so always, you know, it's like I learned Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said if you told somebody you want to do something, it's just like he used the examples. He said if I told a minister I was going to come to minister to his church, he said if something else come up, he said I would, you know, ask the minister if it'd be okay if I changed. But he said I always told him, look, if it doesn't work for you, I'm going to keep my word. I will be there. I will not change a thing without you, your approval. And that's what we need to learn to do. It's not up to you. Once you've given your word, it's not up to you to decide what your change is going to be made. It's up to whoever you promised. They hold the authority, not you. If you use your authority and change that, you sinned. You don't tell people. That's why watch what you promise. Watch what you tell. If you want to say to somebody, you know, we're going to do this, and if you have a catch to it, you let them know what it is. You don't say, I'm going to do that, and then don't. It's just like with children. No time you're going to go do something if they then come along and say, well, no, you didn't do this right, so now we're not going to do that. Hold it. What did you tell them? Did you add something to it then? So just tell them, look, you well behave, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. Learn to use that. Have your word out there, because what's going to happen is after a while, they're not going to believe. If you change it, throw something into it, they're going to know when you say something that isn't necessarily true. They're going to know that. And you want your children to know that your word's good. They need to grow up around people that keep their word. We have a society that doesn't. Somebody's got to do it. So, you know, do that. Be people of your word. You know, lots of times we are thinking in a direction, but we don't express it or express it to other people or somebody else at who you're dealing with. Express what you're saying. Let people know what your word says. That's why the wonderful thing, we have the Bible here. We can look at things that God said. It's right out in the Word. And the most wonderful thing of it, I mean, just think about this. That God would put His words of salvation out there to be born again. You had to receive Jesus Christ, believe on Him, confess Him as Lord. God changed that for nobody, no matter what they've done. It's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. God will keep His Word no matter what man does. He'll keep it. His Word will never change. If we're supposed to be like, people say, well, we're supposed to be like God. We're supposed to walk like God and act like. We've got to learn that our word must be that way. If God has an exception to a rule, it's in the book. He tells us what it is. He tells us that, well, okay, you know, if you sow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. He tells you. He said, you're going to sow the Spirit. You got life and peace. Okay, which one do you guys want out of here? He lets you know. And we need to let people, know. We let to let them understand. And that stuff, the same with us, is the things that we do. Keep your word. God, it's the most wonderful thing. I mean, you look at all humanity has done, and God has never changed for the past 2,000 years of whether He would save an individual. With all the evil it's done, with all the wickedness, He's never changed it. He's never said, man, I'm going to kick this system out. People just don't appreciate it. He didn't. So it stands. And, you know, God's integrity stands true. And that's why you and I can always trust God. Faith would be a hard thing to do if God changes His mind. If you think God, because of cultural changes, God changes, well, then you're going to always be have a faith problem, always, because you're never going to know when you can trust God's word, because it might change. You know, culture changes, so things change, and God don't do it like He did. See, this is one thing, that's why no one, and this is one of the things we have really hard problem in the faith world today, is because the faith people have changed. They have changed like the world to follow a system they believe changes. And if it changes, then there's no security of faith. The security that you and I have in God's word is what God said He would do, He will do. That's what. If I meet condition, if His word has a condition to it, I meet the condition, I'm guaranteed I have it. Wow. Now, if you say God changes, He doesn't do it this way, then now, well, then what does He do? What assurity do I have? None. No assurity. So thank God. You see, what Paul's dealing with these people is a huge, enormous issue, because what they're bringing in is bringing in works, they're bringing in things God don't just always do. He don't do it right. It's not always just promise. You just got to work through this thing and figure it out and whatever your performance. Dear Lord, Ed's in trouble. Ed's in trouble. The performance by worth at our best. Doing at our best, our performance isn't perfect. At our best. So, I mean, if that's what we're going to count on blessing based on that, we have trouble. And that's why we want to stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is true, no matter what men say about it. I have not found if anything changes, you know, since I come into the kingdom. The only thing that I found out is I learned more about the Word, and the more I realized how men got messed up so much, because if you got to watch culture, you let the culture of the world get in. When the Lord spoke to me back when we first started the church, He told me, that actually was back in 1991, He told me, don't let the spirits of the community get in the church. There's demonic powers that operate in every community, in every area. You'll find different influences in every area. And you will go around to churches and you'll find those influences in the churches, because the people under influences try to bring those things in because they want to bring their cultural changes in. They want to bring their cultural ideas in because they want the Bible to fit their stuff. And you got to watch it. You got to preach the Word of God. You got to keep that stuff out. If they want cultural change and they want to hang on to that, you don't want them to come in. because they'll come to fight to bring that in. See, churches think this idea, we just get everybody in, that's really cool. If they're going to bring their cultural junk in, you don't want it there, because they'll bring those spirits in and they will try to, those spirits will try to control, because they already control them. So that person will yield to certain things to try, and if they won't listen to the word, they won't listen, they'll try to bring that stuff in. The Lord showed me, like with the Lebanon area, he said, very much in controlling spirits, he said, the people always want to control the church. He said, they'll come in. He said, they're going to want to lead the church. He said, they're not going to want you to. They're going to want, people in the community want to lead the church. And then he gave me a vision of ministers that I knew that he called into the area. Some of them aren't even around today. He showed me how he called them and gave them a vision, and they were not carrying out any of it. The people were carrying the vision of the church. They said it. He showed me how the people, and he said, I don't have any say in the church. I don't have say in the church. He said, those spirits have the say in the church. They rule the things. They dominate it. And so we need to understand, we got to understand spiritual things. People don't understand spiritual things. They don't. They think, I went to this church, they did it. We ought to be doing that. So they come over. You know, they come. They can't control it over there. Why don't we come over here? Let's go and go control it. I mean, how many times over the years I've had people come to our church and then have the nerve to tell me, God sent me here to tell you the things you need to do. I've had people come and say that to me. And I've said, you're going to hate it here. I just want to tell them straight up, you're going to hate it here, because I ain't going to listen to you. I said, number one, if you're supposed to know what's going on, then you're the pastor of the church. I said, you want to run it? Now, you want to be in charge? Well, I wasn't called to do that. I said, exactly right. You just said it. You're not called to do it, so you're not anointed to do it. The only thing you're anointed by is a wrong spirit that goes around and tries to control everybody. God tells you what everybody else is supposed to be doing. What are you supposed to do? Oh, no. I don't know. Had a guy years ago called me and was complaining about all the pastors in the community and all this kind of stuff. And he went on and talking his junk. And I just, finally I stopped and I said to him, I said, you need to start a church. You need to start a church. Oh, he said, I'm not called a pastor. I said, what do you mean you're not called a pastor? I said, you know what everybody's supposed to be, all the ministers are supposed to be doing. I said, are you telling me God gave you all this revelation and he didn't call you to start a church? I said, God must be really stupid and an idiot. Give you all of this and you're not called. And he goes, no, he said, I ain't called. And I said, that's right. Keep your big mouth shut. You're not called. And I said, you ain't got no revelation either. And I said, you know you don't. You admit it by saying, well, God didn't call me to start a church. Well, sure, would God be a fool and tell him everything to do and then wouldn't call him to do it? Wouldn't it be dumb? We're going to hire a CEO from the company, but we're going to have this other guy who's going to tell the CEO what to do. What do you hire the CEO for, dear Lord? What's the purpose of that? And we got them all through the church world. People do that. They're not called to something, but they're going to tell whoever else it's their job to do it. It's just like, and I found that you start to see this lots of times. I don't know if you've had people do this. People want something done. They feel, now in the church world, you'll get this, people have an, I really feel, God wants us to do this. And I'd say to people, well, if God wants to do that, he's talked to you about it, so you need to do that. Oh, no, I don't want to do it, but I think we ought. No, if God gave it to you, you're not pushing it over to me. You're going to do it. They want you to do what they would like to have done. Well, if God didn't tell me to do it, I ain't doing it. If he told them, get doing that, that's what you set yourself for. See, people, most people, even if God's telling them to do something, they're always trying to get somebody else to do it. That's why you run around and say, yeah, you need to do this. God's put it on my heart for you to do. No, God's put it on your heart for you to do. That's what it's there for. I was listening to Randy Greer tonight coming up here. He said about a smart pastor. He talked about when he was in prison. He said God told him to cast the devil out of this person, and he went to the chaplain, and God told him, he asked the chaplain about it and told God to, help him. He wanted to work this guy, help him cast out the devil. And the chaplain said, God told you, he didn't tell me. He said, a wise man. He said, God didn't tell me, he told you. Most of the church world is always looking, most Christians are always looking for somebody else to do it. It's one of our big things in our society. If you realize and look, that is 90% of our government's problems. The people won't do a thing and are always asking leaders to do everything for them. And then we got this big mess. Trying to make everybody happy. A total impossibility. Everybody wants what they want. There's no way you can make a law to keep everybody happy. You're never going to. It's never happened under the sun. And that's what we have going on. It's the people, through operating through spirits, turning around, taking those spirits into the government, and just letting the devil do havoc in everything. That's what all this nonsense is going on for. It's the people. When President Obama became president, President Obama was a demon-possessed man. He was actually literally demon-possessed. In fact, Randy Greer even saw God revealed to him and saw the spirit. He saw the spirit that went into him. And but you know what the Lord told him? He said, this spirit spoke to Randy Greer in the vision, told him. And God agreed with him. God spoke to Randy and said, this demon said, you can't do a thing about me. He said, the people want me. He said, you can't cast me out. He said, the people want me. And the Lord told him, he said, it's exactly right. As long as the people want him, he can stay. We got going on in our country, even what the church has allowed. The church has done it. Christians have done it. Self-centeredness, self-listening to these spirits, yielding to this stuff, pushing in directions we shouldn't be pushing, doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, and trying to get forceful in our own ways, not realizing people are yielding to wrong spirits. That's what they're doing. Yielding to wrong spirits. So, not everything that glistens is gold. Not everything that seems right is right. That's why I stay with the Word. You follow in line with the Word, you'll be okay. You learn to identify things and see things. Let me just say this to you. Just came the Holy Spirit, just brought this to me. If you will stay over concerning the Word, and just be a student of the Word, there's a lot of things, even that you don't know, God will show you and protect you from stuff. But if you generally go along with culture and what culture's doing and stuff like that, He won't. He won't. You can't have it both ways. It's one of the things that the Lord, over the years, has always shown me stuff many times to keep me out of a problem, things that are going on. He has shown me stuff, ministries I've been involved with, and people He's put me around and that stuff, and I see things going on. And He has shown me stuff of what's happening and what's going on. And over time, every time it proves itself out, every time. And He has done it to protect me of what's going on. He's allowed me to see stuff that's happening, but He's always protected me from it, that I didn't get involved in it, and it didn't affect me. And people got over into it. But I tell you what, I've always been, stay close to the Word. It isn't a matter of it being perfect. That isn't how it works. But one thing is what you honor. Most people don't necessarily put the Word first. They don't put, and it's number one, you can't put Jesus Christ first and not have the Word first. It's an impossibility. I'm going to tell you, the Word is where it stops. I don't care how I mess up or where I blow it. I will never contradict the Word to try to appease Ed. If I blow it, I blow it. I don't try to make an excuse for Ed did it. You got to learn to do that. If you do that, you always hold the Word. The Word's right, I'm wrong. If the Word's right and I did different, I'm wrong. If you will honor those things, it isn't a matter of walking so perfect and doing everything so right. But if you hold the Word in the place and you hold it where it's supposed to be, it's amazing what God will do in revealing things to you to protect you and take care of you. Most of the time where people's problems get into is they are not honoring the Word like they should. They're not honoring. They're letting things slip by and, well, you know, we can do this, we could do that. Well, they do this or they do that. Over the years, I've had many people come to me and say, well, you know, they're allowed to do this or that. I say, well, what does the Bible say about it? Well, I know, but these people do it, and that people. I know, right, they're in huge trouble. They're big. They don't realize they're on a very slippery slope. They know what the Word says, and I'm just about ready now to go against the Word because other people are. And they look over here and say, this minister's doing that. So in other words, if I think he's a big wheel and he can do it, then I can do it. Although I know it's wrong. I know it's against the Word. I know it. Not good thing. You don't want to start practice. If you ever mess up in something like that, you know, repent and get yourself back on. Don't make anything like that a practice. If your own heart will not let you move to something, I don't care who's doing it. I don't care who's doing it. You stop. You stop till you get clear on the inside of you. You stop. You walk past it and you're going to pay a price. It's going to cost you. And one thing, you might walk for a long while and think everything looks good, and all of a sudden something crashes down your life and you're going to stop and wonder why that happened. you're going to forget all about back there. Or you walk past something and you open the door. Don't do those things. When your heart is in you telling you something ain't right, stop. Don't move into it. I've learned over the years, I get a check on things, something just don't seem right in the end, about what's, I just put a stop there until that's clear. I don't move in and join in. You know, somebody could be exactly right, but my heart's clear on it, I ain't going. My heart must be clear. If I oppose my own heart, I sin. It's a sin to go against your own heart. I don't care what anybody says. You're going to be judged by your own heart. You're going to be judged by that. No matter what the rest of them are doing. No matter how we listen to our own heart. And learn to do that. I'll tell you what, God will take care of you. God will look after you. Why? Because you're a person of integrity. That's what you are. We have very little of that today. Very little integrity. People go along with the crowd. Don't go with the crowd. I've learned a long time. Randy Greer said, he said, if you go the opposite direction of 90% of the church goes, he said, by default, you'll be going the right way. And, you know, I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of truth in that. By default, you'll be in the right direction. So, hallelujah. All that was free. I just threw it in there. What do you think of that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're children of promise. And folks, we talked at the end last time, you know, really I just spent a lot of time stressing about the fact we're born again children of God. Get that clear in you. We have a gospel, and we'll look at some few things tonight, but we have a gospel that was preached, and don't allow people to change that gospel. Don't allow anything to change what the Word says. I don't care how it seems that they're popular or how well it seems they're doing. I've watched that along the way of ministry. I like when PTL went under, years before it went under. And I would talk to Christians about things, and they would come along and I'd say, don't you see what's going on here with them? Yeah, we know they're doing this wrong and that wrong, but they're a big ministry. And they're this. So, in other words, they judged that it was okay for them to do wrong based on the fact they were big. So God must be in it. It's big. So God really must, I mean, God must love the American government. It's big. He must love it. He must think they're all doing wonderful. He must be, all the people in America must be my, like angels. We're big. We got all kind of money. We got all kind of stuff. My, God must be thrilled. Well, I doubt it. I know for this fact, he told me he's not. So I know he's not thrilled. But see, this is why you can't, you judge it. You judge it by the Word. And things will come down. Things come tumbling down. There's no way to keep all this stuff up and running with people doing the things that they're doing. It's not going to happen. Payday will come. You know, the book of Revelation is about payday. That's what it is. It's a payday book. It's about reaping what once are sown. Gee, God waits till the end of the age before he sends the full paycheck. Praise God, I won't be here. Hallelujah. That paycheck ain't for me. Glory to God. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Well, we talked the last time. Paul told them if they got circumcised, it wasn't going to profit them anything. You know, I was over there reading through that again today, you know, and looking at things and the words that were said and really basically what it's saying. It ain't going to do you. You're going to get nothing from it. In other words, Christ doesn't profit you anything if you become circumcised. The reason their circumcision was to be saved. And he said, Christ wouldn't profit you anything. In other words, you can't go over and change the gospel. You can't do it. You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The true gospel is the power of salvation, not what man says the gospel is. It's what the Bible says the gospel is. That's the power of God. I don't care who says they were saved because they believe the gospel. I want to know what gospel you believe. There's so many different gospel stuff out there today, and so much of it is not in line with the Word of God. And it's called gospel. And that's a strange thing. We're going to start over in the fifth chapter. In verse 7 says, Paul speaking to these people in Galatia, the Galatian churches. He tells them, he said, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So he told them they were running, they had ran well. But he said, now, in other words, something's hindered you, what you're running. You were running real good. And what is it? In other words, what stopped the run? See, it might look like those churches are growing. It might look like they think they're doing well. He said they were running well, but he says now what? They're not following the truth. Here comes out. What's the truth? Well, the Word of the Bible is clear on the Word of God is truth. So see, if I'm believing outside, in other words, they're preaching this, you got to get circumcised to get saved, that's not the truth. In other words, they might be running, but they ain't running well in God's kingdom. They're not running well doing that. Now, he goes on to say this. He said, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. This persuasion, in other words, this truth that these people say, that their truth is, that what they came along, they have persuaded these people into something. And he's telling them, God ain't the God that's doing this persuasion. In other words, you yielded to a persuasion that isn't true. It's not right. You yielded to something. This persuasion, it's not the one who called you. And then now look what he says. He makes a statement, and Paul has used this before. He said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Paul made the statement, a little leaven. Now, Paul made that statement before about the little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, he did that back in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, talking about a man who was in sexual sin in the church, and they wouldn't deal with him. And he told them, because they don't, he said, this sin, this guy's in, leavens, little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, something leavens the whole lump. Here he is using it. There he was doing sexual sin in the church that is not dealt with, will affect the whole church. It's going to affect everybody. Just like yeast put into bread. You can't put yeast into bread and have part of it raised and part of it not. The whole thing. Leaven will work through the whole thing. It's the way it always does. You know, I worked at Reese Candy Company. We made the wafers you put in Kit Kat. We made batter, and that batter had yeast in it. And you made that, and you couldn't put yeast in one section of the tank and the other section of the same tank of batter didn't raise. It all did. You can't stop it. Once you put it in there, it's done. That's it. You're finished now. If you didn't want leaven, you too late. It's all over. It's there. And see, we need to understand that the church, that there's a huge failure of the church today. Sin is promoted in the church. So the leaven of sin is running all through the church today. Because it's, we love people. We love sin. They won't deal with it. They won't say, look, you're going to do this stuff. We ain't. No, now it's if you're doing it, come on. We'll work through it with you. You know. If you're cheating on your wife, my God, you can go to classes and we'll get you down when you only do it once a month. You'll be, oh, my words, you won't cheat on near as, after a while it'll be maybe once every 2 months. Oh, I tell you, we're just going to work. No, as long as that leaven's allowed there, that leaven's going to work. And those things go on. But he talked to them there. He told them, he said, this persuasion, this hasn't come from him who called you. It's interesting. We go back to the beginning of the book of Galatians where we started off and Paul told them. This is what Paul said in verse 6 of the first chapter we had read before. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you. Now, he just got to talk about it. The one who called you. You're moving away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, he said, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you. But the whole thing of it is, he's telling them, the one who called you gave you a gospel. And you now, here he is, based do this. This leaven, what they're listening to is leading them away from the one who called them. This is important about truth. And you need to understand this. We have today in the church, which even most spirit-filled people call the gospel, is just get born again. That's the gospel. No, it's not. That's part of the gospel. But it's not the gospel. That's not what the disciples. Every church that Paul wrote to, every one of them, they were taught salvation through Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and manifestations of Spirit. There's not one of these churches that didn't talk in tongues. All of them did. That is foundation to the gospel. That's all founded. Divine healing, that's foundation of the gospel. The reason the church in America is the conditions it's in, because most of the church has limited foundational truth. The majority of the church does not believe in the foundations of Scripture, of what the gospel is. They preach a partial gospel. All they preach is Jesus saves, try to hang on until Jesus gets back. That's all you got. They don't preach a gospel of power. They don't preach any of those things which are part of the gospel And we need to understand this. Why? Because people have crept in, they have preached other things, they have removed those things, and people have left the one who have called them for a gospel, this partial gospel thing. This partial thing. I mean, all of a sudden, I was born and raised in a church, it had a partial gospel. You know, Jesus, you know, died for you, and that's it. All the rest of it is gone. This partial gospel. Well, I know what I live in today and what they got are totally different things. And they definitely had a partial. And I want you to understand this. Over the years, their partial got smaller and their victory became less. If you allow the foundation of your gospel to get taken away from you, if you allow things, after a while, you're going to be just like this church. You're going to be just like this bunch over here. God's going to be wondering about you. Paul is not some guy here. It's just him wondering. God's concerned about these people because they're headed in a direction. They're slowly moving away from the gospel. They're getting away from the gospel further and further and further. The further you get away from your foundation, the more danger you're in all the time. The devil don't come and just take something and go away and say, okay, now you just got... He will steal to the day you die if you let him. He will steal from you till when you'll die, you'll come and ask him to pray for you to make sure you're getting to heaven. You'll want somebody to think, get somebody else to do it. He'll lead you over. You never move away from truth. You cannot stand strong by faith having a lesser and lesser foundation. Our victory is based upon that we stand on what the Scripture says foundation. Nobody knows everything about everything. But there's one thing we can do. We can settle this fact. We know what the foundation of Scripture says. We know the foundation of what the church is and what it's supposed to have. And don't you ever change. If you change that, you do it to your own. You do it to yourself. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to pay for it. Everybody, just like these churches are going to pay for it. They're paying for listening. Does somebody come along and stealing their victory from them to accept something lesser? Telling them they're getting more. Telling them they're getting... Don't you go for it. Well, yes, you know, God can heal, but he don't do it that way today. He does it... They start tearing the foundation up of what Jesus died for. Jesus died for your sin. Yeah, that's it. He just died for your sin. That's all you got. That's it. That's all you have. Die for your sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the Old Testament, even speaks in the future what he's going to do. During the healing of your body, the whole thing. It talks about it. What's all entailed in this salvation we got. They've thrown it all out. They've thrown the gifts of the Spirit all out. The day of Pentecost means nothing today anymore. It wasn't the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the victorious church. No, it's not that. It's not that. Don't ever let people steal those things from you. They're going to come and they're going to try to persuade you into something. If you take it, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. You can't have part of your foundation taken. You accept that? That's a lie. That lie will start to fester in your Christian walk. It'll fester, and after a while, you'll find out you're going to have other problems. You can't do it. I've watched people do it. I have never watched anybody who started to move away from the foundation of the Spirit-filled life and has not ended up with a whole bunch of problems and things. Why? Because that leaven leavens the whole lump. You throw part of it out, after a while, the rest of it ain't working because you've let things in and it slowly eats into. Leaven, in one of the things that leaven is a sign of, is a sign of sin. That's why the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread was about the bread. They removed the leaven from their house. Leaven was a type of sin. It wasn't Jews. The rest of the year could use leaven. But God used leaven as a way of a type of sin, something that eats into everything. You can't let it eat into something. You can't throw foundational truth out. And this is what he's dealing with. We have truth. You cannot remove part of the truth. You can only do that if you accept a lie. That leaven that you accepted, that lie you accepted, is going to fester into everything. It is going to do it. It'll fester in. Be careful about the lies. Be careful about those things. People will come along and try to move you off to something. And I want to tell you what I've learned over the years. I pay no attention to them whatsoever. I don't pay no attention to them. Stick with the truth. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul in verse 10 and 5:10 said, I have confidence in you, in the Lord. He said, I have confidence in you, in the Lord. You notice he threw that in the Lord. I'm doing it in the Lord. I said, that you may have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. This is the church age. God said, these ones that are running around preaching this stuff are under judgment. You don't believe in judgment? Paul believed in judgment. He said they're under judgment. These ones are under judgment. They're going to pay for this. Well, let's put it this way. So if the ones who are going around talking this thing, if I receive it, where do you think I'd be putting me? So let's not get over because this is what happens. You get to that belief, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to end up sharing it with somebody else. Now, you put yourself in a position under judgment. You're speaking against the Word of God. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not good. I don't care. There's people who do it ignorantly, even ignorantly, it's not a good thing to do. Never. It is never good to ignorantly. Now, it is really bad if you know the truth and you go against it and you talk against it. You've got to get a whole lot more trouble than the guy who was ignorant. But even being ignorant, it don't pay to go against the truth because it's always going to cost you. It's going to cost you. God don't have to judge you. You're going to end up reaping what you sow, which wouldn't be pretty. So stay with the truth. Walk in what's true. Don't go off into this other stuff. He goes, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? He said, then the offense of the cross has ceased. Listen, he said, the offense of the cross. You need to understand this as a Christian. The cross brings offense, and there will always be persecution if you believe the truth. If anything the devil wants to do and has a hold of majority of people is to move against the truth. That's what they're doing. You know, in our nation today, what they've done with the church and keeping the church silent, you can't be in the government. What do you think that's all about? It's about the cross of Christ. The devil's got in our country and is running things. And what does he go against? Christianity, and pumps the Muslims up and the other religions up. This is a spiritual war we're in, folks. These are people out here yielding to spirits, coming along. What it is? It's the offense of the cross of Christ. You're always going to find this. People are going to offend it if you live and walk in the truth. I've learned that from the time I was a young Christian. You stand up for the truth, man, I'm going to tell you what, people like you. Well, you think people love to hear about healing. My God, you put the name of Jesus on it and they don't want to hear it. But you come along and you're some shaman from some Indian group. Oh, yeah. Oh, here, God. Oh, we can talk about that. Yeah. Use the name of Jesus and boy, it becomes the offense. I don't like that stuff. Religion. That's why we have so much of Christianity. You go down through with Mexico, South America, the islands, and all that stuff. They have all this junk mixed in with Christianity. That's the great acceptance because it accepts into all these other religions with all this other, from witchcraft, everything else is pushed over into that stuff. It's all mixed up in together. Oh, that's okay. We can do that. Yeah, why? The offense of the cross. Could people stand up and talk the cross? I ain't joining with you. Oh, no. No, you push this thing too far. You get over and say, there's one way to salvation. Hold it. We ain't going there. One way. No. We got many roads. Many roads. I'll never forget being in Lebanon at the Lebanon County Christian Ministry Lenten breakfast, and they had the Jewish rabbi. They had come and speak, and I thought, this is the craziest thing in the world. And I said, and this guy stood and started beginning to talk in all the ways to God. This religion has a way, and we have our way, and you have your way. And they applauded him. I looked around, all these ministers, they're applauding this guy. All these people applauding. I'm sitting with a table. People from the church I go to applauded. And I looked at him. I said, that guy just got done telling us Jesus Christ is a liar, and you guys applauded him. I said, what kind of... Don't you hear what he's saying? I said, we should be running him out of this building right now in the rail, and the guys who brought him here. They'll accept anything. They'll do anything. A lot of Christianity is just dumb as a stick. They ain't got no more faith in a little bit. Yeah, we'll go on from here. Now, Paul makes a statement. He said, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Now, really, we don't get a good idea what's saying. It's the word is used there, really, is cut off, is to mutilate themselves. In other words, instead of them circumcising, he's talking about them castrating themselves. That's what he's talking about, them castrate. He said, I wish they'd castrate themselves. Paul's not too tickled about this. In fact, the translation of a lot of this stuff in here is really not good, because it doesn't really, it's not the forcefulness that Paul was talking about, some of this stuff. Paul's talking hard. Paul hates this stuff that's going on. He goes on, verse 13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only don't use your liberty as an opportunity to the flesh. But through love, he said, serve one another. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you consume, you're consumed by one another. Now, I want you, I remember because of reading this years ago, and you have the Apostle Paul comes along and all of a sudden he goes from this and talks about him loving one and walking with another. And I remember just thinking about, why did all of a sudden this shift? It's just so abrupt. What's this thing he's talking about? But I realize what he's talking about. You cannot, here's one thing you'll never have. You will never have legalism, having people following law and it not causing controversy, because you're going to have this. The law is going to always get you to judge one another, whether or not you're really saved. And it's funny. I can remember this as a kid in church. I can remember, there was always doubts about certain people because they didn't quite dress like the other ones, or they didn't quite do, they drove a different car, they did this differently, they did that, they wore maybe a little more flashy clothes than somebody's, they did something. And what happens was, see, they had their laws. And the laws, so then you question that person. Now, whether that person is really belongs to God is based upon them following the law. The law will always lead you not to walk in love. Look, the law is only, its purpose was, is for the knowledge of sin. Legalism always leads to that. Find what's wrong with the other guy. Don't ever look at yourself. It's what's wrong with the other guy. This has gotten into the church, and what happens? Because Paul's going to talk about him walking in the flesh. That's what the law will lead you to, because the law deals with sin, and sin is of the flesh. The flesh part acting out. That's what it is. The law and living in legalism will always leave you. See, told about you guys got to be cast, you got to be, circumcised, and then now you got to follow the holidays, and you got to do all these different things. You got all this stuff. You got to follow all these things, and this is what it ends up to be. You end up getting into all of this stuff that you have to do, and it becomes things. Now you're going to be judged by these. You're going to be judged by that. You're not going to be judged whether you walk in love with people or not. You're going to be judged by that, and it's going to just bring up people pointing at each other after a while. Who's the most holy, and who can do the most, and who can do this? I remember my father getting into that, and after a while you had to in their conservative, what they call conservative belief. All conservatism is not good. There's a lot of evil conservatism. And their religion was a lot of evil conservatism. How you become more conservative. And so he thought becoming, denying yourself of things made you spiritual. So if you denied yourself of stuff, and say, well, if you deny yourself of electricity, well, that would be you're denying yourself, All these things. If you deny yourself of this, I'm not going to have this in life, or I'm not going to have that because I'm what they call living plain, being more plain, Well, I thought at one time, going to get real plain, take your clothes off, walk around naked. That'd be as plain as you can get. God didn't make him clothes anyhow, so he didn't send some fig leaves over like he did with Adam. You put them on. You did that when God did. You're going to have to do. But, the whole thing is, how far are we going to go with this? That's what legalism leads you to. And you're going to always have the groups that you're going to always have to go further. And then so you have the people that want to sort of just stay where they're at in the legalism, but you're always going to have these ones who want to carry it further. It's never going to be enough. And it's always going to be a contention in those things, of those ones, and we just got to go further. We have to have, more legalism. Now there's nothing, but we also have that over on the liberal side of the people on the ditch on the other side who believe in a sloppy grace. Well, after a while, you're a legalist because you believe it's wrong to sin. And they think it's okay to sin, and they'll get over on their side and go off, and they're just like, you know, well, you're just in bondage. Because, you know, we're free. Free to do what we can do what we want. Leads to really nice stuff. The ditch is on both sides. And really, Jesus said the way of life's a narrow road. You know what the narrow road is? The Word. The Word's the narrow road. And it is the narrow. Today, it's the most narrow thing you've ever seen compared to what's going on either side. The Word's narrow. The Word don't have a half a path over here on this side. You're going to believe the Word's being out here. Being over here, you're not believing the Word. You're believing something else. It's to follow the Word. That's the narrow gate. That's the narrow road, the gate to walk in. If you follow the Word, you're on the narrow road. Now, that narrow road is the road of life. That's the place of blessing. That's where it all goes on that road. What do you want? Why do you want a wide road? Man, I want the devil to be able to eat me some. You know, I want him to destroy me some. Get at some of my kids. You know, I want him to do something. You stay on the narrow road. It's an easy thing to, it's really, to me, now I find it, you know, the best thing that you can do, because I just, is to me, I don't have to come up with some kind of other, I don't have to come up with something new. I don't have to come up with something. The words are put down. What all I got to do is, he gave me the book, listen to the Holy Spirit, walk in this stuff and follow. To me, that's the easy thing to do. I don't have to try to figure out how to get to God. I don't have to try to figure out how to please God. I don't have to do none of that. I don't have to figure any of that out. It's been all given to us. God put the Holy Ghost in us, put the teacher inside us, God the Holy Spirit, to guide us and lead us into all the truth. Amen. We have it. What would we want something else? Anything outside of that, you know, it's like, you know, you're driving a Rolls Royce and said, you know, give me that 57 Ford. I want to sit in that and drive it around. I mean, after you've been having riding around a Rolls Royce, that there Ford ain't going to be, that just ain't going to get it. You know, they might be nice as a classic, but I don't want one all the time. It's like Christianity's been like that. Christianity has liked something less. Now, they want the Rolls Royce, but I want to get it over here. It's like the guy on welfare. He thinks he ought to be running around with the CEO of a company he's in. He's over here on something less, wanting that. Well, you're going to have to go over into something else. You can't get it from there. You can't. It's impossible. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. You can't have it. You're going to have to do something. And people need to understand these things, that, you know, we have liberty, but we were never given liberty to sin. Sin is choice. Sin's about our choice. It's not about God. God dealt with the sin issue in man. And your liberty is just simply this. You have the liberty to follow God. You never had that as a sinner. You couldn't follow Him. You couldn't follow the Word. Man, how many times, I don't know if you, I turned over leaves quite a few times in life as a sinner. And turned right back to the one I was on. I quit doing some stuff often. Well, you know, you do that. But that's the nature of sin. You're bound. You have no liberty to say no. You're in bondage to it because that's your nature. You know, it's like a nature of a dog. He'll sit down and lick his behind. That's the nature of a dog. You know, that's what we did, actually, as sinners. That's what we were doing. We were like the dog. That was, we didn't want to do it, but we did it anyhow. We acted like the dog. You're a pretty picture, but this is the way it really is. We were filth. And this is what we did, and you couldn't get out of it. You couldn't do any different, folks. You were like the dog. Jesus Christ, if your nature don't change, you're going to do that. That's what you're going to do. The nature must change. If you have the nature of a dog, you're going to do what a dog does. That's just it. And, you know, our society teaches that today, and a lot of Christianity does. You know, we're just like animals like the rest of them. You teach people they're animals, you will never get them to quit living like animals. We've been taught we're animals, and now people act like animals, and they don't know what to do about it. Well, you told them they were. We shouldn't be surprised they act like it. So, you know, they push this stuff on us. But see, this whole thing, our liberty is now, you are free not to sin. You can actually say no to it. You can actually say, I'm not going to follow the flesh. I had never had that before. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about drinking. As a sinner, I could not see myself. I was like the dog. I couldn't stay away from drink. I could never see myself. No matter how I wanted to stay away from it, I couldn't stay away from it. I was bound. And I got born again, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you don't have to drink anymore. That was, I'll never forget. I was standing in the kitchen of 321 Canal Street when the Lord spoke that to me. And to me, that was the biggest revelation I had up to that time. I thought, my God, I don't have to drink anymore. I never had that. I never, before it was always, man, you got to have the drinking. And then that's the night Wanda thought I was insane. Because I got my booze bottles out. I started pouring it all down the drain. I started dumping all my beer and all my booze. And she thought, what is this crazy guy? He's crazy. What's he doing? And she still says that to today. But I was dumping it down the drain. That was the first. I would have never even thought nor considered that before I got saved. I never even considered it. Because I would have been down there opening the plumbing up, trying to get whatever was in the trap. The guy throws his cigarettes out of the car and slams on the brakes and runs around and tries to find his pack of cigarettes. But free, I could say no to something I never could before. See, it's one thing, that to me was a revelation of freedom I had never had. And it was, I realized Christ setting me free. Most people, the biggest lie that is told, and it's a huge lie preached through many ministers, is the idea is freedom is like our freedom. We as a nation, we have the freedom to vote and all that stuff. That is our God-given right. Hold it. The freedom I got from Christ, I was voting when I was a pagan. Let's get real about this stuff. But when I got saved, it's the freedom I don't have to sin. That is our freedom. It's not our freedom to do what I would like to do, what my flesh wants to do. God never gave me that freedom. Never. He didn't say to me that day, just go ahead and just keep drinking. Once you're saved, you're always saved. It don't matter. Just go ahead. He didn't. He told me, you don't have to do this anymore. Why? If you're saved and you sin, you're going to pay for it. The wages of sin is death. That changes not because you got born again. That is a law. You sin, there's payment. That is a law. Now, it isn't a happy law that's preached today about grace, but it is, it's a law that stands. It's a law that stands. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You're going to, it doesn't matter, you get born again as much as you want. But if you do things, you're going to pay for it. There's a cost to it all. There is not a cost for walking in the Spirit. There's not a cost for saying no to sin. There's only blessing. As a sinner, you could not even have that. That couldn't even have been a thought of your life. For the first in my life, I could be blessed by God. I could say no to sin. That's where the blessing. The blessing comes from walking in the Spirit, not walking. Not because Jesus died for me, now I can do what I want. Now I can do what He wants. You are not free till you want to live what He wants. If you still want to do what you want or somebody else wants, you missed it. That is not the freedom. You and I have the freedom to follow God. We never had that as a sinner. You never had the freedom to follow God. When you get born again, you're actually free now that you can do the will of God. Man, there's nothing greater. There's nothing more wonderful. God caused the new birth in you for that purpose, that you could carry out His perfect will and be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's His purpose. If you will follow His will, it's like Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, if you're in my perfect will, you never have to ask me to bless you. My perfect will has my full blessing on it. The reason we don't see the full blessing today is because people are following their own will. That's why. Instead of saying no to sin, we're saying, yes, we love people, and so we're just tolerating. We're going down the road. I'll tell you, let's not go that road. God set a wonderful road, and that's the road of blessing for you. Hallelujah. So let's walk in that blessing. Hallelujah. We have the freedom to choose, but if we choose to sin, there is consequence. There's always consequence to sin. But we walk in love. You walk in love, or you walk by what's on the inside. Either the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You walk by what's on the inside. And I'm going to guarantee you this. It's blessing. It's blessing. If you walk by what's on the inside, you'll make right choices. You'll make right choices. You want to do that. Because what? That's the real you. That's the real you in there. When you follow your flesh, I want you to understand this. When you follow your flesh, this is what it means. You're not listening to you at all. You're listening to your flesh. And your flesh is unregenerated. It does not have the nature of God. You're following the nature of sin. If we walk by what's on the inside, what you are on the inside is the real you. That's the eternal part. That's the part of you that's going to be eternally with God. When we get our new bodies are going to match the inner man. They're not going to match this outer man we got. Because this outer man is dead. This outer man is dead. And dead in what? Sin. So you don't want to listen to the outer man. You want to listen to the inner man. Now, Paul went on to say, now he's talking to these people. Why? They wouldn't be in this mess if they were doing this. They wouldn't even have this going on. He said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. How are you not? Now listen to this. In other words, if you're a Christian and you live by the flesh, you're under the law. See, Christians say, make the statement, say, you know, we're not under the law. If you're living by the flesh, you are. It's living. You were designed to live by the Spirit. The woman at the well of Samaria said to Jesus, where are we supposed to worship at? He said, we're a place where the Jews say up here, Jerusalem, and we say over here, we say this. He said, now's the time that we worship God in spirit and in truth. You want to make God happy, you want to hook up with God, that's how you do it. You walk out of the inner man. Now, they capitalize the word spirit each time here, but it's not accurate because it's about following your own human spirit. You're born again. Your nature, if you follow your God nature inside of you and listen, that's where the Holy Spirit will commune with you at. You listen, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is what you need to understand. Laws cannot keep you from following the flesh. Rules won't keep you from following the flesh. There's only one way that you can keep and bring your flesh under, and that's by beginning to follow the inner man. The inner man is where the strength and ability, that's where the grace of God operates and works in there to bring your flesh under control. It is not on the outside. It's not thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. If thou shalt not would have worked, we would have never need Jesus. I mean, how many laws do you want? Did they work? No. What works is following the Spirit. Your inner man has the nature of God in it. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's its only inside. You follow that nature on the inside, and you'll always be led to victory. You will always do it. You can overcome the flesh and put the flesh in its place by walking in the Spirit or living on what's the inside. That's one of the big benefits of praying in other tongues. Because tongues is not of the mind. It's not of the body. Your mouth might speak it out. But you're speaking something out from the inside of you. And speaking those things out of you, they will help you in bringing your flesh under control. You having trouble with your flesh? Pray in tongues. I can always tell people they don't have trouble with their flesh. They don't pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is help because it is a spiritual exercise. Most people exercise their carnal nature. That's what they exercise all the time. They're exercising their carnal nature, talking and saying things they shouldn't be saying. Talking out of their mind, out of their flesh, instead of out of their spirit. Instead of speaking the word of God over themselves concerning victory, they're talking about their failures and how, oh, I can't do this and I have trouble with this and I got da 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 da. Flesh dominate, rule me. And say, I just don't understand why. I just don't seem to have the victory. Say, I know exactly why. We know exactly why. We know exactly why. We can be the Christian and still live like the dog. Say, I'm trying to quit this. But it ain't working. Hallelujah. idea. He said, if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, this is one of the most, if you're led of the Spirit, this is what we were designed to be. This is what, over in Romans the 8th chapter, it told us that we're in the Spirit of Christ in us. It says we are, but you're going to have to talk that. You can't talk the other stuff. You're going to have to talk about being in the Spirit. You're going to have to put your voice to what's on the inside instead of what's on the outside. If you want to change the outside man, it is through the inside. There is no other way that can be done. That's why, you know, when people come along and they have, AA and that stuff, and these people, they have to have a partner, you know, cigar, some of these stay hooked up, try to keep them away from drinking. They can't stay away from them. They have no victory in it. Why? They don't have it on the inside. Even if they get born again, if they stay on that path focuses on the outer man and not the inner man. I didn't need one AA session. I got born again, and freedom came because I was taught about freedom. The freedom is something that I had on the inside. What I had on the inside was more powerful than what's on the outside. AA promotes that what's on the outside is the biggest. You're going to be a drunk for the rest of your life. They promote your flesh is dominate, will dominate you to the day you die, and they think it becomes godly because they say, you need to believe in a higher being. Yeah, a higher being, it lets me in bondage? That's a higher being? That's no higher than I am. Dear God, I'm the bound guy, and this higher being does nothing for me. It's like, oh. Yeah, this is really good stuff. And churches have these sessions, and they do this stuff. And we're out here working because we love people. We want to help them. If you love people, you tell them, here's the Word of God. This is your victory. You want another path? I ain't got one. Do whatever you want. I ain't got one. This one works, I know. I've walked in it, and I've missed it. And I'm going to tell you what, following it works. Following it works. This path works. And so, you want to stay on this path. You don't want to change this path. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, I preach me happy. Glory to God. I'll tell you, I'm staying on this path. We're on the most glorious path there is. Don't let anybody ever try to, don't let people talk you out of it. Hallelujah. You know the truth, and the truth is what makes you free. I don't see if, you know, David spoke in the Psalms, he talked about, he looked around and said, my words, it seemed the evil guy's doing better than the good guy is. And he talked about those things. But you need to understand this. There's a payday's coming for everybody. I don't care how it much seemed like people are getting away with stuff. When the Lord woke me up the one Saturday morning and told me, He said, he's fed up with them. He said, I'm going to let them have what they want. He said, I'm going to let them have, they're going to get exactly what they want. He said, they're on their own now. People are on their own now. Hallelujah. He wasn't talking about Ed ain't on his own no more. I quit being on my own years ago. Hallelujah. I know who I need to follow. I know who I need to walk with. I'm going to tell you, there's a separation of people right now. I'll tell you, I was listening, you know, on the radio, and this guy's on there, and he you know, said about being, you know, Christian. I talk Christian principles and stuff and things like that. He's talking about all this division going on out here, and we got to get back together, and we just need to bring things back into this. And I'm thinking about, you're operating against God. God's dividing right now. He's fed up. The division we're having is God's dividing. God is dividing who's His and who isn't. He's dividing it up. And I want to tell you what, when God starts doing the dividing, and people are trying to join everybody together, I'm staying away from them because it ain't God. They're going to join together with what shouldn't be joined together. And they think they're walking in love. I'm sorry. God's dividing. He told me. He's dividing. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. People today are trying to bring everything together. That's been the destruction of the church for the last 30 years. We're trying to incorporate everything that goes on and bring it all into the church. I'm sorry, we got this wonderful book. And we've been given, the Holy Spirit's been put inside you and how to teach us and guide us. To be able to follow the words of this book. To live in the victory this book has. And I'll tell you, our destiny is what this book says. I don't care if it don't seem like we're the top winners at all. I don't care what it says. I know outcome. And there's one thing. Ed can hear from heaven. The God they make fun of me about is He talks to me. Reveals things to me. And I'll tell you, He's never been wrong about what He's shown me. He's always shown me ahead of things will happen, and they always end up coming down the road. They always end up. I always end up seeing it. It always ends up out there. And I'm going to stay with it. Hallelujah. He's done this well all this time. Now for over 37 years of taking care of Ed, he did a good job, and he'll do it forever. How long it has to be done from here on out. It hasn't changed. Why? Because his word has not changed. He can't lie. God's not a man that he can lie. He can't do it. Hallelujah. Do you have a security or what? You've stood on the word. He ain't changed. Hallelujah. You wake up tomorrow, you wake up next year, whatever it is, you wake up, you're just as secure as you were 10 years back. It don't matter. It's the same. Hallelujah. His word's true. Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word tonight. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful you're the God that don't change. Lord God, I thank you that you're putting a boldness into us, Lord God. You're putting things into us, Lord God. Lord God, we're being changed. Hallelujah. We're being conformed into your image, Lord God. The church of Jesus Christ, this victorious church, is rising up, a people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, it sure is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it. Hallelujah. And, Lord God, we're the believers here tonight. We're believing. And I thank you, Father God, that we're going to stand on your word. We're not going to be moved, no matter what other people are going to do, no matter whatever they're going to save. Lord God, we set ourselves into your hand. You're the good keeper, and you're going to keep us. The good work that you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion. Hallelujah. We're not going to get off into stray off into other stuff. We're not going to leave truth. We're going to stay in the truth. We're going to stay put in it and walk in it, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what people try to do. Lord God, we're going to trust you. And I thank you, Lord God, you're going to show people the victory of the ones who walk and live in the truth. Hallelujah. Lord God, you told me years ago you're going to exonerate your people in these last days, that men will see and know that, Lord God, you're with us. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, that's your words and not mine. And I thank you that you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.